You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In the meantime, I can say we have narrowed the choices to a number of cities that as of today include Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. There are no shortage of candidates that can help us do this. Again, the final determination will depend on COVID-19 conditions, testing availability, and government regulations.
And then there were four cities after that long list that Gary Bettman just reeled off, the NHL commissioner mentioning all those. We are now down to four, Chicago among them, joined by Las Vegas, Toronto, and Edmonton. And I guess we could know soon if, in fact, we're going to have a dozen NHL teams here in Chicago. The guy who's been following that story, writing about it for Crane Chicago Business, is our guest, Danny Ecker, who is on Twitter at Danny Ecker, joins us once again on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you been, Danny?
I'm good. I'm good, all things considered. How about you?
Hanging in. So if this is going to happen like 11 days from now, we should know, what, today or tomorrow, if this is the case?
That's all the indications I'm getting is that, you know, this was supposed to happen, you know, late last week or over the weekend. I don't know exactly what is delaying all of the announcements, but, they don't have time to wait around here if they want to stick to this schedule.
So how does this work? How does it work from a housing perspective, from the hotels and dining, et cetera, to actually ice time and who and where and what?
Yeah, so that's what I got my hands on late last week, which was more details about Chicago's bid of how they would host this. And it all really centers around McCormick Place, or part of the McCormick Place campus being turned into sort of an NHL player village. They would use the Marriott Marquis Hotel, which is that big 1,200-room hotel that opened a couple years ago next to the convention center. That would be where everyone stays. And we're talking hundreds of players and team personnel. That's connected by a sky bridge to Wintrust Arena, which would be a training center. And then they would actually open a bunch of hospitality tents connected to the hotel that would be sort of, you know, gaming lounges and other activities for players and personnel to be able to be, you know, socially distancing, but also, you know, live and do other things and have fun while they're not playing. So that would be the bubble. And then they'd be shuttling those players and teams back and forth to the United Center to play, and then they'd use Fifth Third Arena, which is by the United Center, as well as the two Johnny's Ice House rinks near the United Center for practices. So, you know, the city has made this pitch and saying, look, we can pull it off. We can, you know, isolate McCormick Place. And, you know, McCormick Place has been mostly empty anyway. So they could say, look, we can really control this, control your environment. You got a lot of ice. And hey, by the way, we've had some pretty good testing numbers recently and good case numbers that have been dropping compared to other cities that are in the running. And so I think the city is holding out hope that they still have a chance.
Are they going to be kicking off the teams that already have reserved ice time at Johnny's and maybe at Fifth Third? And I'm asking this selfishly because I know my son's high school team is just getting ready to start Tuesday evening and Thursday evening practices this week. Like Thursday is when they finally get back out there in phase four. Do they mean that they're going to have NHL teams commandeering all our ice time?
You know, it's a really good question. I'm not sure how much of that detail has been looked into at this point. I mean, all the indications I've got from people I spoke with who were mostly nervous about speaking on the record about this were saying that, you know, and mostly to not jinx Chicago and not blow the chances, they were saying, I think there's a lot of details that would be negotiated once they've selected these cities. I think the NHL is obviously trying to move fast here and trying to figure out, you know, which cities they're going to go with and then getting into the details of what, you know, practice time, what ice was available, could be used. I think it's entirely possible that Fifth Third and Johnny's could, you know, say, look, we need to clear out some time. We're going to rearrange some schedules and try to make it work. I don't know. I think that's kind of one of those things that if they're getting down to these last little detailed questions to figure out where they're going to go, you know, I think the city and you know, Jerry Reinsdorf and Rocky Wirtz of the United Center are really going to try to pull strings where they have to.
Well, I'll just say that Gary Bettman can get our ice time when he pries it from our cold, dead hands. I'm sorry. It's been too long. They worked too hard to try to get it forever, try to get back out there. My goodness. Now, I know that there are some arenas that where they've put in, there is such a thing as temporary ice. And I don't know what Wintrust is able to do, but like when an ice show comes to town in some cow palace somewhere, that they can get it down there. It's not the best ice in the world, but it's functional with temporary compressors in an arena. Do you know if there's any idea of doing that somewhere?
You know, I asked about that, and I don't know, at least for Wintrust Arena, I know that wasn't the plan. I don't think it's hosted an ice event yet. I'm not sure about that, but I don't think it has. And I'm not sure if it's really set up to do so, but I haven't heard of any other ice, you know, temporary setups being used. I'm sure, you know, that certainly could be in play in other cities too anyway, because, I mean, you're looking at cities that only have so much ice, and you know, if these players are looking for practice time, and obviously it has to be of a certain quality. I mean, that's another thing holding all this up, is I think the NHL and the NHL Players Association need to really reach agreements on a lot of different details about where the players are going to go, quarantining, testing, before they're going to go ahead and commit to a city. So I'm not sure about temporary ice, but I think again, that might be one of those things that, you know, they're having, that's maybe a little bit lower on their list than testing capacity and things like that. I mean, part of the Chicago bid was, you know, they said they're going to have Northwestern Memorial Hospital being, you know, doing the doing all the testing and getting results back a day later. I think Gary Bettman said they were going to have to do somewhere between like 25,000 and 30,000 tests total when you're testing everybody every day. And so testing capacity here was a big thing. That was part of the pitch, was they would use the big East atrium at the United Center as, which is the thing they added on a couple years ago, as just this testing facility where they just turn players and personnel in and out of there to get tested and get the results back the next morning before they leave the hotel. So there's all kinds of these little details that they got to work out, including ice time. And I guess hopefully in the next hours here or days, we're going to have an answer.
Who actually made the pitch? How formalized was this, and what was the process like?
Yeah, so it started back in mid-May, which was actually before the NHL had formally announced publicly what they were planning to do for this playoff format. This was a combination, I think, led a lot. At the time, it started with a letter and some basic details from the United Center joint venture. So, you know, Rocky Wirtz, Jerry Reinsdorf, and working with the Chicago Sports Commission, which is the group that obviously makes the bid for, you know, on behalf of Choose Chicago and organizes all the different parties and sponsors that would be on, you know, involved in that. They obviously were key in getting the NFL draft here, for example. So they were part of it. And I think at some point, there were all these next steps that were coming up. Like, they made that pitch in May. And then the NHL said, okay, well, now we got these down to these 10 cities. All right, let's tell me a little bit more about your testing capacity. Okay, and then they told them about that. Okay, well, then tell me else about the accommodations, you know, and what else you could do. I mean, they had to go so far as, you know, they went through the Chicago Bears, which were going to be staying before two preseason games in the Marriott Marquis Hotel, actually agreed to move if this thing comes here. So they had gone that far to say, all right, we can make it work. And another big piece for this was that the biggest event that McCormick Place holds, which is in September, was only recently canceled. That was like 3 or 4 weeks ago that they formally announced that wasn't happening. So that opened up space at McCormick Place. So I think they've kind of just had this pitch that progressively started to involve McCormick Place, City Hall, even the governor's office, because obviously the governor and the city share ownership of the convention center. So it's it just kind of became one of those things that, you know, started involving more parties, but it really, you know, stemmed from the United Center back in May.
What's the financial significance of this? Because obviously there have been, I mean, with all of the conventions, like 100 events, $1 billion maybe lost. How much can be clawed back if, in fact, they end up being one of the hub cities?
I don't know a specific number, but I think that, look, if they're going to spend 2 months basically at the hotel and at Wintrust and using other parts of that McCormick Place campus, that's anything right now is significant. I mean, the McCormick Place, the agency that it runs, it just had a $100 million bailout basically from the state legislature through its bonding capacity that it needs to just keep its operations going. They're already going to drain their reserves to pay off their debt. So there's a lot of really tough days ahead for the convention center. And I think this would be a really important win for them. I mean, that doesn't have obviously the usual, spin-off effect that a lot of these conventions do, because you're not going to be helping downtown hotels. Certainly it creates a little bit of compression, I guess, by occupying one big hotel at McCormick Place, but it doesn't, have the same kind of effect to these. Everyone's going to be living in a bubble who comes here for this. So I think it would be a significant source of revenue for a couple months in which McCormick Place has nothing, pretty much nothing on the books. And in the meantime, maybe a bit of a morale booster to say, hey, Chicago can host big events still, and we can, make this work, even if everyone's wearing masks and, socially distancing.
And this would include then the full-blown television production on the league level, mm-hmm. of everything that's going on. So this would be both for the CBC contract in Canada, where they're airing the games there, NBC and NBC Sports here. So I guess we're talking about all of the actual games themselves would be played at the United Center proper, or would they use Allstate Arena potentially?
The pitch said it was all United Center. They were talking about playing three games per day at the United Center. So it's a lot of just quick turnaround, and that's where at least it was centered around. I don't know if any of the discussions have gone beyond that and saying, hey, what other ice venues that we could use like Allstate, but they were talking about churning through a lot of games in a very short period of time. That the whole thing would be done, I believe, at sometime in September. So we're talking about really about 60 days of a season of not season but playoffs total.
How hard a bubble can they really have? And this is something the NBA is trying to get their heads around. We were just, talking. We're hearing Lucas Giolito of the White Sox was mentioning it when he was talking about the team coming back. There needs to be a commitment by the players themselves to, frankly, not be in some of these bars. Because we're learning, as the data is coming in these highly affected states, that's where the transmission's occurring. It's people packed mm-hmm. into restaurants and bars. And are you going to keep 12 hockey teams worth of full of players from going out with all the temptation that's around and all the possibilities that are around in a city that's largely reopened?
Well, I think it's, I guess the testing that they're going to be doing is stringent enough that they would be able to, catch anything that happens. And if players are going out, it might end up coming back to bite them because they're not going to be able to play. And then, obviously, that certainly could then pose its own issues, because if something then spreads throughout a bunch of players, then are you still going to continue with the playoffs, or do you have to just stop in the middle and say, never mind, we tried and didn't work? I don't know. I mean, it's obviously Chicago has had a very cautious approach and, capacity rules of what's allowed to open. And, the compliance so far has been pretty good, and we've seems so far to actually have some good results from that, but I don't know if that might help keep some players out of it. And they also, they're really playing up what they were hoping to have in these hospitality tents for the players that would hopefully keep them all on site. These tents would be actually, they have C3 Presents, which is the group that puts on Lollapalooza, which obviously isn't happening. They were the ones that would be actually operating this village. They talked about, having, just like a ping pong club and golf simulator and arcade bar and billiards and darts and all. I mean, making this so that, in theory, the players can do what they want to do and never really have to leave. It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I think that you probably have some scofflaws that are saying, we're going to try to sneak out and go do something else, but there's risk in that. And, I think it could come back and bite them.
Well, it would be really cool for the city, but keep your hands off my ice time. So that's selfishly.
Yeah.
That's because really there are a lot. I'm exaggerating, but there are a lot of clubs, you know, private youth clubs and high school teams and college teams that are just finally emerging from this and just finally getting back out there. And now to have some of that all just commandeered by the NHL would set some of these squads back. It really would.
I think so too. I think that's that. You know, could be a bigger hurdle than I realized.
Danny, thank you so much for joining us. I hope we get the news on this soon.
Yep. Thanks, Dan.
That's Danny Ecker of Crane's Chicago Business, who was all over the story of Chicago potentially being an NHL playoff hub. Let's talk some golf next. Rich Lerner of Golf Channel has been involved in all these last three tournaments, or we have just had some tremendously competitive golf and exciting things going on with just a raft of talented players playing at the peak of their abilities. We just got to get them on a course that tests the distance a little bit. And I want to say it's the Rocket Mortgage Classic coming up. I think it's in Detroit that starts on Thursday. So we'll talk some golf with Rich Lerner next on The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.